Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
Happy Wednesday, Cleveland. Guardians still in action despite there being a 2-10 first pitch because rain and baseball, bad combination. But we're going to react to them at some point in the show now. We'll talk a little bit about them. And more things heating up around the Cavs potentially going after Jaylen Brown. We'll talk about that. Brown's actually relatively quiet, oddly enough, today. And, well, of course, night two of the NBA draft kicking off. In an hour's time, Cavs still have not made a pick, but could potentially make one at 34. So we're going to stay tuned. We're going to stay interested. A lot of things to get to. 4 hours to do it. And it's Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. We have Michael Bohm running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. Michael Markoch with us tonight. And I think the entire Jaylen Brown discussion is interesting. Obviously, we played with the idea... I'm very much so pro if you were to trade for Jaylen Brown. I don't think the Cavs would ever do it, but I'd much rather give up Donovan Mitchell than I would Evan Mobley. Made that clear yesterday. Think it makes a lot more sense when you're actually building out a roster, but we continue to get more insight into what's happening. Because for so much of this, it felt like that was kind of the Cleveland pipe dream idea. You bring in Jaylen Brown, nobody in the national media is talking about it. But of course, anytime you mention a player who's 6'6 or above can play the three, you now have piqued my attention. Right? He can play a little bit of defense. He can score at will. Yeah, I'm interested. An actual wing player. But Chris Mannix on NBC Sports Boston today, talking about a little bit of a deal involving the Cavs and actually some interest that could be coming down from Boston side.
If Jaylen Brown is truly available and what the asking price for him is going to be, but the Celtics, I believe, are listening to those calls and are, you know, thinking up their own trade matches of their own. I spent some time this afternoon talking to different teams about what might the Celtics be interested in. And the name and the team that came back to me a lot was Evan Mobley and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Mobley's one of those guys that could fit the archetype of the type of player that the Celtics are looking for. Now, if it is a deal they're interested in, it is a complicated deal to make because the Cleveland Cavaliers are a second apron team and there are a whole bunch of different rules that go with being a second apron team, including the need to match dollar for dollar value with the player that goes out. That's just mathematically impossible, it seems like, in this moment. But that's the name trending.
Now, there's obviously going to probably be a time at some point. I don't think that Jaylen Brown's getting traded tomorrow. I think we are looking at more of a long stake, probably sitting here and waiting it out and trying to figure out what happens. But Cavs will likely be under the second apron at some point during this offseason. They're going to try to move Dennis Schroeder. They got the second round pick last night. Hopefully the one that it'll take to move Schroeder to a what's mostly going to be a non-contending team. But sure, like you're able to at least move closer to the idea that you're out of the second apron. You're going to be able to function. But I mentioned it yesterday. This is the type of move that when we talk about roster construction just doesn't add up to me. Like, I just don't see a world in where James Harden, Donovan Mitchell, and Jaylen Brown can succeed together on the basketball court. And I drew it up a lot to what was the 2020 through 2022 Brooklyn Nets, which was the Kyrie, KD, James Harden Nets. And it's like, you obviously don't have players, I think the three players of that caliber at the time that you had them. Although, I don't know at this point you really would have been all that far off of having them. But it just feels like, to me, that's what you're rebuilding. And it's not something you want to recreate. You're creating three ball dominant players who have to share one basketball, who aren't, I mean, just selfless players as a whole that are going to get everybody else involved. And it's going to be, hey, whatever guy eats tonight's going to be great. It's going to be three guys all trying to get theirs on every single night. I just don't see that working out well for you. We can have arguments about Evan not demanding the basketball enough, not being involved enough in the offense. And I think those are fine in, I mean, quality arguments to have, right? You have a legitimate gripe with Evan doing that. I'm not going to tell you you're absolutely wrong. But on the flip side of it, part of Evan being the type of player who's going to let his touches go by the wayside, not going to demand the basketball, is what allows Donovan Mitchell to flourish, is what allows James Harden, while he's doing it, to flourish. Again, those are very ball-dominant players. They need the basketball in their hands. If Evan all of a sudden, what they were going for at the beginning of the year had actually worked and Evan was able to bring the ball up, one of two things would have had to have happened. Either they had to find a way to share the ball among three players who can handle it, or James Harden would have had to take a lesser role. Right, he wouldn't have been able to be the exact same player that he is now on the team. He would have been considered a true facilitator. That's what he would have had to pick up, and I think there's still an argument to be made if that's what he should be doing on this team. And by the way, probably what he should be doing on this team is more of a true facilitator. I don't need you to go out there and drop 25. I need somebody to get the bigs involved and keep this offense flowing. But I also don't think that's going to happen because of the comments that we've played over the last 2 days with James Harden. But it's just not a move, and I don't think it's feasible to expect either of those two things to be reality, and it's the exact same scenarios that you're walking into with Jaylen Brown. You either have to find a way to share the basketball three ways, or James Harden has to become a true facilitator, or Donovan has to become a true facilitator. Neither of those players, I think, want to do that. And neither of those players has really shown a winning capability to be able to do that. James Harden has taken more of a facilitator role at different points in his career. I think to some degree he was that in the regular season with the Cavs. I think he was that in Brooklyn. I think he was that in Philly. Right? Where it's like, I'm going to be the guy to get everybody else going. And obviously James Harden doesn't like the way that played out. It didn't lead him to a title. It didn't get him any closer. And he just used it as lost money, lost time, and as he said himself, lost swagger. But I need a move that brings me closer to a championship. In the way that I view this, and of course Boston's going to be interested in Evan, they need the big men. I don't even know that, and this is the wild thing that we're looking at, that Evan Mobley might have as much value as Donovan Mitchell at this point. You can tell me who that's more of a problem for. Is that everybody who's sitting here complaining about Evan Mobley being completely in the wrong, or is that everybody sitting here probably overvaluing what Donovan Mitchell is worth? That's a debate worth having, but I need to get closer to being a championship team, and this is a move. Evan Mobley for Jaylen Brown is a move that leaves you, I think, almost no closer to a championship. It is just kind of the super building move that you kind of make. I don't need super team. I don't need a bunch of names down on a paper. I need a roster that functions. I think if you didn't know, if you didn't watch the last, 3 years of basketball, and I rattled off the names that were playing on the Oklahoma City Thunder, you'd probably be like, what is that team? Like, I mean, maybe a play-in team. Maybe they can squeeze into a playoff spot. Maybe they can be a sixth seed. But you don't know who Lu Dort is all that well. You don't know Jalen Williams that well, Chet Holmgren. Shea has not taken the massive step forward that he has taken now in his career. But there's not a ton of great names there. Isaiah Hartenstein's considered a decent center. You take a look at Alex Caruso, and he is a winning basketball guard, but he is not anything that anybody's saying, oh, you got to have an Alex Caruso to win a championship. But as a team that everybody has a role and everybody functions, and I think a lot of the teams in the NBA right now, opposed to, the New York Knicks, even now, if I brought to you on paper 3 years ago and gave you these two rosters, you'd be like, oh, the Cavs win that series every single time. They have James Harden, Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen. How are they even losing? But it's the reality of, again, you have one basketball on the floor. Not everybody, and so many, three out of those four players I would consider to be more offensively than defensively inclined. Evan is the lone defensive specialist on that of the core four right now. It's like, Yeah, but you still have to find a way to share the ball. Jared Allen can't continue to get his. Evan Mobley is good enough offensively that he can excel and always get his. And then it's just left to Donovan and James Harden, who are essentially ensuring by being a tandem backcourt that they are always getting theirs. It just feels like disaster. And you add Jaylen Brown to that, and it's the exact same scenario. Everybody should look around and go, you have James Harden, Jaylen Brown, Donovan Mitchell, and Jared Allen. How are you even losing series? You're so talented. And we did the exact same thing with that Nets team that James Harden was on, yet we all knew how they were losing. On paper, they seem incredible. It's fantastic. But that was the group who truly showed us building a super team is not as easy as it looks. Right, you actually tip your cap a little bit more to the, I mean, LeBron James Miami Heat days where it's like, yeah, they just formed a super team. They just brought a bunch of stars together. They also had to find a way to make it work. They also, I mean, guys had to sacrifice. Chris Bosh could not, I mean, the offense wasn't running through Chris Bosh. And they got a ton of guys to shoot on the perimeter. They became dangerous in multiple other ways. It was foundational roster building that was happening out there. Something LeBron has done at basically every stop of his career now is build a roster that knows how to win, that does take pay cuts along the margins. But this is not a team where I think anybody is willing to take a pay cut with Jaylen Brown here. This is not a team where players are making sacrifices. And this is not a team that you throw a bunch of names into a hat, shake it up, and you go, there's your roster. It'll work great. No, it is a roster-building disaster. It is a team that is left, with so many problems that I just don't see them solving. I can't sit here and just go for, people act like we're playing 82-0 right now in the actual NBA. Hey, can you just go out there and bring on a ton of points? Your team's got to average 150, then you can go out, right? Like, it doesn't work that way. Oh, even 82-0 doesn't work that way. But you can't just go out there and grab a bunch of players who score a ton, which feels like half of the Cavs roster building decisions is I'm just going to go get a bunch of players who can put the ball in the hoop and expect great things to occur from it. You need guys who can play defense. You need guys who can take lesser roles, play specific roles, and have it work that way. So no, bringing Jaylen Brown in for Evan Mobley, as much as, and I said it yesterday, I'd give them credit for the shakeup. Right? At least you're doing something different. So I would hear you out on it. And I understand the logic coming from it is Jared's going to lock down the five. He is a traditional center. He'll be all right down there. Jaylen Brown adds the three that you felt like you never had. And again, it is a shakeup and not running back the exact same thing. I'll have very few arguments to pick with it, but understand that it comes with a very low belief from me that this team actually has any success bringing in Jaylen Brown and sending out Evan Mobley. You're just not fixing anything.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're just trying to get names and you're trying to put guys who, onto one roster who put the ball in the basket. That doesn't seem like a winning formula. 216-474-0092. If the Cavs were to make the trade that Chris Mannix is talking about, Evan Mobley for Jaylen Brown, would they be closer to a championship or closer to the 2020 to 2022 Nets? I'm siding with the Nets. I think that is almost a direct recreation, and it's not by fault that James Harden's on both of them. You can also get to us on X, at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. Again, we will have Guardians reaction with the delayed start. They're taking on Chicago, looking to avoid the sweep. We are going to get the most pressing things said by our station's guest today with the station buzz. That's probably coming somewhere along around 8 o'clock. We have Get a Grip, as we usually do, at 9. Plus, we're going to talk to Greg Swartz of Bleacher Report. Cavs, day one of the draft in the books. Maybe their first pick in the books by the time we talk to Greg as well, coming up at 9:20. We'll bring in Michael Markoch later on in the show for another edition of Change Your Mind. But right now, 216-474-0092. With an Evan Mobley, Jaylen Brown swap, are the Cavs closer to a championship or closer to those 2021 Brooklyn Nets? And coming up here in 5 minutes, if you add anything to that trade, does it actually make it more valuable? And it's all coming your way right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick. With you guys until 11 on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. Asking you 216-474-0092. The Cavs made an Evan Mobley for Jaylen Brown swap. Are they closer to a championship team or closer to those James Harden Nets years? Again, easy answer for me. It's screaming the James Harden Nets team that lasted, what, two seasons together? And, I mean, one of them was the shortened 2020 season, so I don't even know that we're really counting that in its full capacity. Other than that, they basically spent no time together, had no real success together, and the team just fluttered out. Like, you are, I mean, just bordering on that happening all over again. Not to mention sacrificing your future. Likely, if that doesn't work, sacrificing your future with Donovan Mitchell. And James Harden doesn't have much time here left. Like, you are just, I mean, stuck in a spot where you are going to be, I mean, living in the land of pretty good, but not great. It's just not a place that I can sit there and accept them being in a quality spot for it. And it's not just me sitting here and saying it. I think you've heard multiple hosts today say that they would be, I mean, hesitate a lot on that Mobley for Brown deal. And Danny Cunningham, Locked On Cavs, is on the station earlier today, this morning, with Ken and Anthony, and he shared a lot of that same sentiment.
I wouldn't give up Donovan Mitchell in a trade like this, and I understand not wanting to give up Evan Mobley either, and I'm not sure that Jaylen Brown is the guy to give up Evan Mobley for, because I think that if you get to that point, that if you are trading Evan Mobley, which, you know, I do think is something that should be at least thought about, I'm not sure the Cavaliers will think about that, you have to trade Evan for a guy that is no doubt going to make the Cavs better and is no doubt better than Evan Mobley right now and probably for at least the next 2 years. And I'm not sure that Jaylen Brown makes the Cavs that much better in that spot, because I think that they would miss a lot of the things that Evan provides. But I don't know that Jaylen Brown is the answer there. And I do think, too, as far as Donovan goes, like, he wants to be in Cleveland. He's been a top 10 player in the NBA his entire time in Cleveland. And yes, this postseason was not his best performance, but I think it's difficult to find a top 10 player that wants to be in Cleveland. And I think that you should hang on to that if you can.
And, like, that's probably where Danny and I would differ the most, is because, well, as much as I enjoy having Donovan here, and I think he is a fantastic player, he should be right on that ledge of a top 10 player in the NBA. I don't think that's crazy. He could make an argument that he might be closer to top 15, but that's just me. He can be great and also be, with the roster you have currently constructed, part of the reason that you're struggling. And I think he is a massive part of the reason that you're struggling right now. So, again, everybody has their hesitancy. And listen, if you're not going to make a move for Jaylen Brown for Evan Mobley, that's where I have questions of, like, what is the type of player that's getting it done? Because that's a top 15 player in the NBA. Anywhere you look right now, Jaylen Brown is sitting inside of that top 15 or bordering right on it. So we're talking about, a clear upgrade of a guy right there. But I brought up the problems. Danny's bringing up the problems. Again, I don't think it's a fix. But then who's worth it? Right? Like, is Giannis worth it at that point? Obviously not getting traded now that he's gone to the Heat. But I think we had questions on whether or not Giannis was worth it because of health issues, because of everything else. Nobody is going to give you a top five player in the NBA for Evan Mobley. And it feels like, in a lot of ways, that's what we're asking for, right? You're not taking on a young player with a high future. That's exactly what Evan is. You're looking for a player that allows you to compete right now. And if it's not going to be a wing, the one thing you've been missing, I'm not really interested in swapping out Evan for another four, nor do I think there's really a ton of fours floating around the NBA who are worthy of trading him for. So you just constantly get left in this, cyclical type battle of, you're pretty much stuck with having Evan. And you can talk about trading him. You can think about trading him, and the Cavs might not. Danny might be right. you're pretty much just stuck on the same exact go-around of, oh, well, you're pretty much just going to have to run this back with the core four. And I will say, people have brought up the idea that maybe this isn't just a one-for-one swap, right? Maybe you do move on from Evan Mobley and get Jaylen Brown back, but maybe there's something additional. I think Ken and Anthony brought up this morning the idea of Peyton Pritchard and Max Strus being swapped in that trade as well. I don't know that Boston would actually go for that. I imagine they would probably decline that trade because Peyton Pritchard has shown to be a more impactful player right now than Max Strus. Both impactful, both, I think, winning players. But Peyton Pritchard is obviously a key part of what they do, and they're not getting the same type of guard back. They're sixth man of the year type of player. They're a guy who's going to ball handle off the bench. You're not getting that in Max Strus. So I don't know that they go and do that from a roster building perspective. I don't think they do. Would it make me more inclined to take the trade? I'd be more interested. I'm still probably sitting here and saying no, though. Like, I'm still not, I don't see the team getting that much better. Congratulations, you got a backup point guard. And Jaylen Brown. Okay, now what you're missing? Essentially, the entirety of your front court outside of your starting five. That's what you're missing. And you have continued to miss that. You haven't had it, let alone a backup center. You haven't had a backup big that you could play in any sort of reliable minutes. I mean, the tallest player, routinely coming off the Cavs bench was who? It's pretty bad when I'm sitting here and racking through the players who would get into the games, and Max Strus and Jalen Tyson are the ones coming to my mind, and Jalen Tyson wasn't even playing that often. Like, you are bringing Max Strus, Dennis Schroeder, Sam Merrill. Those were the guys coming off the bench. I mean, again, Jalen Tyson, Keon Ellis, from time to time, occasionally, maybe every once in a while, you get Thomas Bryant, but he wasn't giving you good minutes. So you were, again, just stuck in not having bigs and having almost no way to acquire them post that trade. Yeah, you got a backup point guard. I would take my chances on getting a backup, a point guard that could even ball handle a little bit, distribute the rock, and trying to find that before I find somebody who's going to be a reliable four or even be strong and coming off the bench and be able to provide rebounding for me. It feels like those guys are getting picked up left and right. We watched the Lakers this entire year struggle to find a successful center. They're still pretty much in the battle of trying to find successful bigs to add to their team. Boston struggling to find successful bigs to add to their team. Like, this isn't just, oh, well, you just go get the guys. They're easy to grab. No, they're not. Not with the money battle that you have with the Cavs. Not in the, an era of basketball where we are just prioritizing bigs, especially as we watch the ascension of Victor Wembanyama. We've watched Nikola Jokic. We know Giannis is out there. There's great bigs in the game. You need a counterpunch. And right now, like, the Cavs have a great counterpunch to those bigs. I think had the Cavs gotten the opportunity and played their way into playing the Spurs, I don't know if they would have done a better job than New York, because New York obviously did a really good job on Wemby, but you are one of the teams most equipped to slow him down. Between Jared Allen, who is a above-average perimeter defender for a center, and Evan Mobley, who's obviously a defensive player of the year, you have all of the askings to match up with Wemby and make life difficult on him. You'd be throwing that away. Like, I don't love Jared Allen guarding Wemby 100% of the time. And he probably wouldn't. You would probably have to stick somebody like Dean Wade on him. The exact same scenario you're walking into when you're playing guys like Giannis, when you're playing guys like Karl Anthony Towns. Again, Jared Allen is not going to be a premier perimeter defender. He's all right. He's pretty good for the position. But Evan is your key to playing defense on that. And guys like Jaylen Brown and bringing them in is not helping that. And I don't think you can add very much to make it more intriguing. So, again, you're just stuck. You are left in this. If you don't like Evan Mobley for Jaylen Brown, I don't think the Celtics are very much going to take kindly to the idea of Donovan Mitchell for Jaylen Brown, because that doesn't fix any of their issues either. You're just rolling back the same exact core four. I'd love for a deal like this to make sense and both teams be able to benefit from it. I mean, listen, I would take a deal if the Celtics weren't benefiting, but the reality is the Celtics obviously aren't going to take that deal. But if I could conjure something up that I think legitimately helped both teams, it'd be right there on the table. I'd be jumping at it. But the reality is, like, Jaylen Brown's not getting that done in just about anything you're adding to that trade package that isn't named Jason Tatum isn't really pushing the needle for me. And we know, obviously, Boston's not making a deal like that. We know they don't have very much to offer in terms of, I mean, significant key pieces. Like, again, Peyton Pritchard's interesting. He's a fun player. I'd like to have him on my team. But I don't think Boston's giving that up. They have no reason to go through and want to give up a guy like Pritchard, and the Cavs still have a massive hole because of it. In so much of what we've been watching, I think, has been a Evan Mobley that has been hindered by the team that he has played on, has been hindered by playing alongside Donovan Mitchell in his career, and guards who have not fed him the ball, have not made him a focal point of the offense. Kenny Atkinson being there, Kobe Altman's, I mean, disastrous roster building process that he's been on over the last few years. You've just run into roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, and I don't know where your key pieces are supposed to be coming from. I don't know how you're supposed to make dramatic changes, even though I think all of us sit here and have the realization that you probably need to. Key changes most likely need to be made. This team needs to go through a dramatic shift from where they're at right now in order to become a championship team. And Jaylen Brown is the exact type of player, but you have just strapped yourself with cash. You have strapped yourself with the assets that you have to move. And the Cavs, consistently look like a team who just don't have a great pathway forward. Like, you have so many of the things that are missing, but every time, the only players that you have out there that are worth the trade value of actually going out and getting it and fixing the team is Evan Mobley. And I don't think this team can afford to lose him. And your only other option of getting rid of a player that gives you real value back remains to be Donovan Mitchell. And this team seems like they've made it really clear. You don't move Donovan. He is the centerpiece of the team. He is the guy they want to build around. They want to be the leader. They want to be the star. And they don't want to go through a leadership change. They want to go through a, fix everything around your leadership change. Well, then you get stuck in spots like this. You get stuck with Dan Gilbert, I'm sure not being a happy camper, having to pay his team into the second apron, having to pay ridiculous luxury taxes, having to pay, with the way that your roster can be constructed, and have to sit here with Kobe Altman and dive through and navigate through the crazy moves that you have to do just to be able to be a functional NBA team next year.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
And it's all come along the way for what? Like, you make a trade like this, you double down and you trade away Evan Mobley, there better be a championship waiting on the other side. Like, you have to get a ring. There is no excuse. In an era of basketball where being one of the worst teams in the NBA no longer is going to benefit you, trading away Evan Mobley is going to leave you as the worst team in the NBA. I mean, flat out, I don't think you have a chance to compete. You take away James Harden, Donovan Mitchell, and Evan Mobley from this roster. If your key piece to work through is Jared Allen and, a bunch of young players, Naquan Tomlin, Jalen Tyson, Tyrese Proctor, you are going to be one of the bottom three teams in the NBA and consistently find yourself with no way to get significantly better. Just not a spot I want to find myself in. I don't want to give up the future of this team, partially because I don't believe in the current product that you have, but mostly because I don't believe in the pathway forward that you could actually find. 216-474-0092. Is there an additional player that makes a Jaylen Brown for Evan Mobley swap something you would actually want to accept? Plus, coming up here in 5 minutes, Cavs are going to be on the clock relatively early tonight as the second round of the draft kicks off. Are you going to be upset if they don't make a pick at 34 now? Because I saw a lot of people upset they didn't make a pick at 29. We're going to talk about it right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. We'll have Guardians reaction once they're wrapped up out in Chicago after a long rain delay today. I'd like to tell you that game was close to over because it probably should have been, but it's not. Still some time left to go in that one. Again, we'll have the reaction as soon as it's done. But we are talking a little bit on the Cavs. NBA Draft Night 2, Round 2 coming up here. Starting in about 17 minutes. And, I mean, I don't know that last night was in any way surprising. I mean, we talked about it probably at 7:20 yesterday. Michael had the idea that, you know, the Cavs probably weren't making a pick at 29, probably trading down, trying to get second rounders. Made a lot of sense. They don't have any. Now they do. They have two of them, including tonight's pick as well, one later in the future. But they needed to get second round picks. But tonight is a different story. And I think social media in a lot of your guys' reactions was in a lot of ways a different story. I think everybody was basically looking to find a way to add a player at 29, hope that he'd be pretty good for you, and add. I mean, you see the player who gets taken, Alex Caraban. Was he taking you over the edge? No, he was not. Was he a 6'8 player who could have been a decent defender for you? He was. Right? I mean, he was a wing that would at least give you some size off the bench, the ability of a guy to play defense, potentially. But obviously, Cavs did not go that route, and now they sit with the 34th overall pick via the Sacramento Kings. There's some interesting players still left on the board. I mean, we talked about some of them. With, just what we were looking at yesterday, some of the top guys after the first round had concluded, you still have interesting names. You still have guys who, like Isaiah Evans, who's a 6'6 guard out of Duke. You have Malik Thomas, who is the 6'5 guard out of Arkansas. And then you have Henry Vassar, who is the 7-footer out of North Carolina. So you still have what's probably going to be decent players. I mean, I think a lot of us are hearing 6'5 guard and just immediately think I'm probably ending up with Max Strus, Sam Merrill, and another guy to play that exact role. Basically the same one that Jalen Tyson also now plays. Just slightly worse of a three-point shooter, maybe a little bit better of a defender. But you have a bunch of 3-and-D undersized wings that are more so just basically two guards that you get stuck with who are going to be asked to play and defend the three consistently. I just don't know if it's even, I'm sitting here waiting at 34. I think if Vassar is there, you probably take him. You've been looking for a backup big. He plays a little bit of the stretch five type of feel that you have. And I think he can help you with some spacing off the bench. But again, this is under the understanding that that would take the Cavs to play one of their young players, give him the opportunity to play very early on, and try to develop him as time is going, which is really tough to do as a championship-level team. There are a few teams that do it around the NBA. The Cavs have proven so far to not be one of them. They've either drafted poorly or not given those guys the opportunity, period. But am I really supposed to get upset? Like, if Vassar still sitting on the board and the Cavs decide, hey, let's move back a few more picks, pick up more second rounders, see if we can move off of a couple of more contracts. I just don't know that I'm going to find myself getting riled up, getting angry at any idea of the Cavs not making a pick tonight. I really don't even think that I can get all that riled up and upset if they don't make a pick at all. The one thing that you have going for you is the idea of you could use a guy on the roster that's going to be making, you know, somewhere sub $2 million probably to just eat up some of the time, eat up some of the roster space so that you can have the 8 or 9 guys that you're going to play in the playoffs and hopefully allocate a little bit more money to them with the younger contract. But again, I think in practice, yes, you should be a little upset if the Cavs don't take 34. I think in reality, in the way that the Cavs view it, and the Cavs, go about this, I don't know that 34 is a guy that I'm going to get upset about either. Like, I just don't know that this is something that I'm sitting here pounding the table. The Cavs have to make a draft pick at 34. It's not going to be the thing that riles me up. It's not going to be the thing that gets me excited. It's not going to be something that I'm going to make a big stink about. Like, yeah, I hope they take a player. I think it's a lot more fun for the fans when you do. I think there's things that are at least interesting at the draft. But there's nothing that's really, forcing me into feeling like I have to give a ton of attention and a ton of credit to round two of an NBA draft, period. I mean, the players that the Cavs have selected in the second round over the last, 15 years, you went through some of them yesterday, guys sitting around 29. Cavs haven't made anything work with these picks in a really long time. I want to hear from you guys, though. 216-474-0092. Will you be angry if the Cavs don't make a draft pick at 34? And BP's in Pepper Pike. What's going on, BP?
Hey, Jake. How you doing tonight?
We're doing all right, man. How are you?
Good. I mean, of course, I was disappointed that the Cavs traded the 29th pick last night because, And first of all, I invested about 3 hours of my life watching that draft to see who we were going to take. And, you know, the station, you know, you guys put out a lot of content, you know, who's, you know, mock drafts and, you know, and for them to just trade out when there were some viable players. They're like, I like the guy Henry, you know, I don't know his last name, Vesar.
Vesar.
I mean, he's the second ranked center in the whole draft. If you get that guy at pick 29, he's 7 foot tall. If he's kind of like a Kyle Filipowski, you know, he can shoot from the outside. He's 7 foot tall. You know what? I would have just picked him. You know, I don't know what the big, you know, like mystery is. You know, if they, you know, if they miss out on somebody like him tonight, I'll be disappointed. You know, the Knicks have the first pick here in the second round. They could easily take him, you know, and then, you know, walk away from Mitchell Robinson, let's say. But you know, I'm disappointed with the Cavs did. I mean, it's not our fault as fans that they've, you know, threw away all these second round picks over the years and don't, you know, now they have to restockpile them. That's not our fault, you know, that they, you know, use second round picks on guys like, you know, to get rid of guys like Dennis, to pick up Dennis Schroeder, to get rid of DeAndre Hunter, to get rid of Lonzo Ball. Again, I don't think Kobe Altman's that great of a general manager, you know, when you really look at all his whole body of work. So I'm really not that enamored with his work. So I have a feeling the Cavs will probably just trade down again tonight and then, you know, take more future second-round picks. That's probably what's going to happen. But I would like to see them at least come out with that Henry, you know, Vesar tonight. I don't want to see another 6'2" guard, you know, that's for sure. You know, and yeah. I don't think we need the 6'5" guard from Duke either. You know, he kind of looks like another Cam Reddish, you know, like a guy that's too thin and not that great of a shooter. And, you know, we already have Tyrese Proctor from Duke who's just about the same size as that kid, so... Yeah. If they can't get the center, you know, the 7 foot center from UNC, I say they should just trade down.
It might be the spot that they're in. And BP, I appreciate the call. I mean, and I think that's not even the worst logic of thinking. Like a lot of the guys here, I mean, obviously Cam Reddish was a much better player than Isaiah Evans is, but yeah, I mean, go get yourself a little big depth. And I think the, you know, this could be a move at 29. Cavs might have been thinking. I think Brett Siegel had reported on this a little bit at Clutch Points. The idea that the Cavs probably thought they can just give Vesar 34, which might be the reality. They might be able to go through and do it. But, yeah, worst case scenario beyond it is that you're just picking up more second-round picks. Like, and that's not going to be a sexy move for anybody. I don't think that's going to be anything that gets anybody excited. It might also just be a necessity for Kobe Altman. You have to go through and make changes. You have to go through and get guys off this roster, get out from under the second apron. But, again, it's not interesting. There shouldn't be a, well, this is just what you have to do in the NBA. You have to be willing to make moves like this because, no, you absolutely do not. Right? Like you don't have to make moves like this. Teams don't have to go and acquire a million second-round picks. And the teams that do have been set up in a position to do so. The New York Knicks, they acquired 5 second-round picks yesterday because they were able to retain their first round pick, despite trading away, what, 5 of them, you know, in order to get Mikal Bridges. But they still had their own first round pick. They still were able to go get the seconds, leave them with a ton of flexibility to roster build. And that's a championship winning team. They have the roster already built. They don't have to make a ton of changes this offseason. They can ride through with, you know, a lot of the same team that they had last year and hopefully expect similar results. Cavs are on the outside looking in, needing to improve, needing to get better. And because Kobe had to, I mean, get rid of second round picks that we dug through last night. You know, where did all the second round picks go? I mean, they were attached to DeAndre Hunter in trying to get him here. That obviously didn't work out. They were attached to getting rid of Lonzo Ball, a disastrous move brought in by Kobe Altman in the first place. And I think it just draws more questions. Like, hey, again, is it the worst case scenario? Like, I probably agree with BP. I'm pretty much Vesar. If you want to go trade down, go trade down. Like, I don't really need, the only other guy that you're even probably considering is like Bobba Miller, the Cincinnati power forward. And even then, I'm probably not getting a great player out of him. I'm probably not getting somebody who's immediately stepping into the game and making a major impact. Or, I mean, almost any impact whatsoever. I don't even know that he really touches the floor next year. So, I am constantly in this same type of battle. But again, every other team doesn't have to go through this. Teams either have ways to acquire second round picks or they've done it. And Kobe Altman has nobody to blame but himself. He's the one who built this roster. He's the one who got in the second apron. And the Lonzo Ball thing is, I mean, as detrimental as anything, because yeah, you brought him in on a $10 million contract. You had attached 2 second round picks to get rid of him. And I think you do look back and you probably were just better off with Lonzo being on the team. Like the reality of it, I mean, you didn't win a championship. You got one step closer, got swept in the Eastern Conference Finals, and you didn't get under the second apron. Like all of that, even to bring in Dennis Schroeder and Keon Ellis, who are both likely leaving this offseason, not going to be on the Cavs next year. That move was useless. Not having Lonzo Ball here, congrats. I did enjoy not having to watch him shoot like 19% from beyond the arc and basically only shoot threes. I wanted him gone more than anything on the planet, but to have him ride the pine and do absolutely nothing probably would have yielded you the exact same result. Not much would have changed. So I'm again just sitting here like you basically just tossed away 2 second-round picks. Yeah, on the idea to try to get better, and I understand that. And does the James Harden trade still happen? I mean, I think the money lined up just about exactly right, so it probably still does with Darius Garland. But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you did what? I mean, save a few bucks for Dan Gilbert by getting him lower in the second apron, save some over-the-cap money. I don't really care about that as a fan, and nor should I care about that as a fan. So, again, we can talk about necessary moves, but it doesn't mean that you have to like them, and it doesn't mean that you don't sit here and question them. And when you dig through it, again, it is Kobe Altman's own doing. So on the idea that, hey, you know, if Caravan does turn out from the 29th overall pick to be somebody that's contributing on the Kings, looks like he's playing winning basketball, which is, I mean, mostly just the type of player he is, then you're going to turn around and go, could have used a player like that. And you're right, you absolutely could have. But Kobe Altman left you in a position where you couldn't afford it. And if you don't take a player at 34, it's going to be much of the same conversation, much of the same exact thing happening. So yes, if you don't draft somebody at 34, it's not going to be that I'm going to be so upset by the decision itself, but I am going to be a little upset because it's just going to remind me the Cavs buried themselves in this hole. They created this mess. And yeah, you might have messed up on a player who, even if you're going to give me 8 minutes in a playoff game, probably would have been more impactful than whoever gets to added to the roster in his place. 216-474-0092. Are you going to be angry if the Cavs don't make a pick at 34? Or does the second round really just not mean anything to you whatsoever? Plus, coming up here in 5 minutes, we're eventually going to have Guardians reaction, but we're going to get to the most pressing things said by our station's guests today with the Station Buzz on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.